Just days before Brexit is due to happen, the City of London still lays claim to top dog status in global finance. So far, in the year to June, London attracted more cross-border commercial real estate investment than any other city. It still handles nearly one-fifth of the world's international loans, more than any other hub. And the city's dominance of foreign exchange has increased, up to 43% of trades from 37% in 2016.
Japan is still picking up the pieces after a massive typhoon struck over the weekend. The death toll on Tuesday rose to 66. But with hundreds injured and more than a dozen still missing, that number may continue to tick up. Fukushima Prefecture was among the worst hit. Typhoon Hagibis left a trail of destruction there. Levees along a key river burst. Around 138,000 households have no water, and 24,000 are without electricity. Local media reports at least 25 people in Fukushima were killed, including a mother and child swept up by floodwaters.
Facebook is pressing ahead with its plans for an e-currency. Backers of the Libra digital coin met Monday in Geneva. By day's end, they were one fewer in number. Online travel company Booking Holding has pulled out. It's the owner of sites including Booking.com and Priceline. The departure follows earlier exits by PayPal, MasterCard and Visa.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's October the 16th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day here getting underway. Lots going on in the world. We'll try to update as much of it from the world of business as possible as we move forward this morning on The Opening Bell. We have a couple of stories we want to focus in on today, including harvest season. It is a particularly dangerous time for not only the farmers in the fields, but folks who are navigating the roads and highways around some of the farms as well. Mike Matulis will be here from the Illinois Department of Labor to talk about some of the dangers from harvest. That'll be first up this morning. A little bit later in the program, our friend Mark Horner will be in, a certified financial planner and CEO of Fairhaven Wealth Management. We're going to talk to Mark about National Retirement Security Week, talking about some keys to saving for retirement, doing some of that at 5:38 this morning when Mark joins us. So stay tuned for all of that and the latest news, weather, sports, and traffic as we move through the 5 o'clock hour as well, right here on 720 WGN. First, though, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The opening bell rings this morning after the Dow Jones Industrials closed up above 27,000 for the first time since July. Reports of a possible Brexit deal and corporate earnings sent stock higher. This morning, though, we have a little weakness in the market. Futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street. Dow futures are off about 61 points, nearly a quarter of a percent. S&P and NASDAQ futures are off about a quarter of a percent each as well. In Asia, the market day ends positive in Japan with the Nikkei up 265 points, nearly a percent and a quarter. In Hong Kong, up by nearly 160 points. In China, off by nearly a half a percent. In Europe, markets are mixed. In London, down by nearly a half a percent. The FTSE's off 31. In Germany, markets are higher by just a fraction. In France, higher, lower by about a third. And oil in the U.S. is at $53.04 a barrel, which is up about 23 cents. A couple of stories as we begin this morning. The involvement of General Motors CEO Mary Barra and President Mark Roos in contract talks with the United Auto Workers Union is giving hope that striking workers may have a new contract sooner than later. Yesterday's bargaining session was the second time Barra had been at the table in the past week. The strike by the UAW, now in its fifth week, GM lost over $1 billion as a result of the work stoppage. Local union presidents from across the country are meeting with UAW leaders tomorrow. When the CEO appears at the bargaining table, analysts say that's generally good news, meaning that a deal could be coming soon. AMC Theaters is entering the streaming wars. The nation's leading movie theater chain is launching its own streaming service for members of its loyalty program, effective, and now anyone who signed up for AMC's Stubs program can access about 2,000 films from every major studio to rent or buy and watch them at home. Company says they hope to add films from AMC networks later this year. There are about 20 million AMC Stubs members. AMC is the latest to get into the streaming service for homes. Apple Plus, Disney Plus plan to launch next month, Warner Media later this year. They already join a crowded field that includes Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime Video. Let's begin this morning with harvest. The farmers are out in the fields trying to get crops in. It's a very dangerous time, very hectic time as well. Michael Matulis is with us this morning. He's a public information officer at the Illinois Department of Labor to focus in on the business of farming this morning. Michael, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Stu. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I want to begin with just how dangerous farming is. I know a lot of different analysts say it's the dangerous job, most dangerous job in the United States. Is that true here in Illinois as well?
Yeah, it's the statistics change a little year to year, but and it's, I think the thing that's kind of surprising to people is I don't know if we always think of farming as dangerous because, you know, it's kind of this idyllic thing. People are out on their tractors going through the fields and stuff, but honestly, the death rate is like typically about 23 per 100,000, which would put it right up there with mining, construction, transportation, those kind of things. It's a pretty dangerous area when you think about it. There's a lot of pitfalls that can happen in farming.
I know farmers try to be safe all year round. They try to do their jobs as best they can. What's different about harvest season that puts them in a little bit more danger?
Well, I think it's just the hectic pace that happens this time of year, but I think 2019 is an exceptional case too when you think about it. If you think back to the spring, a lot of the farmers weren't able to get into their fields. I mean, actually in the spring, a lot of the fields in Illinois, it would have been easier to use a canoe than a combine, I think, at the time, given the amount of rain that we had early this year. So I know the corn right around my house, I'm in northern Sangamon County down here in Corn Central, and the corn right around us didn't go in until the beginning, early, I guess it was maybe the first week of June, which is, as you probably know, I think you're originally a downstate guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I am from Southern Illinois. Yeah.
Right. So planting corn in June is not typical.
No, it's normally knee-high by July, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, we were kind of looking for some of it to just come up by July this year. But so that, you know, that's kind of actually put extra pressure on a lot of farmers, I think. One, you're rushing, you know, you want to get in hopefully before the snow flies, obviously. But also, it's been an odd year all the way around. So I think particularly this year, people are a little more sensitive to the fact that everybody's out there racing to get the crop in. So, when you're rushing to do something, mistakes can happen.
Michael, let's talk about some of the specific dangers. I know being on the tractor and the combine is probably a big part of this threat. Can you tell us about the number of tractor and combine accidents that happen about this time of year?
Right, yeah. It's and I guess that's one thing I didn't really touch on. You know, we can focus on farmers, but really I think part of the danger of harvest season is that's the time when rest of the population gets a little more familiar with farm implements because they're out on the road a little bit more because they've got to move field to field. So that's the real danger of this time of year besides just the rush to get the crop in. You've got these large farm implements that are using the same highways as our cars and trucks and RVs and everything else that's out there. So my understanding is the top two real safety concerns during harvest are, one, this is going to sound kind of weird, but left turns of when farm implements are having to make a left turn on a road, and then also tractor rollovers, and we can talk about that a little bit. That's kind of a separate issue. But out on the road, it might be a combine, it might be just a tractor pulling a grain wagon, but they have somewhat limited visibility to their rear. So you get those guys, they're going maybe 20, 25 miles at the most, miles per hour at the most. And understandably, people are impatient. They get backed up. You know, our farms now are pretty close to our population centers. So, but drivers really have to keep in mind that, one, they may not be able to see it, and two, if they're making a left turn, you're going to be the one that loses once you hit that giant implement.
Mike, we were talking before about some of the different dangers on the farm and the turns, the left-hand turns, one of them. But the tractor overturns are the leading cause of fatalities in ag these days. What do we mean by tractor overturn?
Yeah, well, and it is it's pretty terrible. About 130 deaths a year, I think, is the average from nationwide from tractor overturns. But when you think about it, out on the farm, it's not always even ground, obviously. So, and that's where most of these things happen. Culverts, holes, going, possibly turning too fast in a field. Tractors tend to not be, sleek little things that have a low center of gravity. So, anything like that can cause a tractor to turn over. And if you're in it, that's not good news because, certainly easy to be crushed by that kind of machinery. Since the late 70s, I think 1976, there's been a requirement that tractors have something called a rollover protection structure on them. Of course, there's plenty of older tractors out there that may not still, and also some of these things can be disabled so that they can be used like inside a building or something. So one, they need to be in use. It can be anything from a roll bar to an actual welded-on structure that would actually encase the person that's driving the tractor. But the other thing is, and I think this is what happens far too often, is the structure may be in place, but if the tractor rolls over and you're not belted in, then it can be just as tragic. The rollover protection device can actually be the thing that would possibly kill the farmer. So two things. One, they should have that rollover protection structure, and definitely they should be using a safety belt of some kind to keep themselves inside it so they are protected. If those two things are in place, a rollover is usually survivable, and oftentimes the person doesn't even get hurt.
One of the other areas that farmers will be working closely near and in are grain bins. Safety there is probably key as well, right?
Yeah, and once again, going back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, this is a scary year for people. The last time we had a year like this, where you had a kind of late, lots of rain and harvest maybe coming in a little bit late. The problem is you get grain coming into the grain bins that's wet. So then it gets bound up. And then there's the need to try to send somebody into the bin, and that's when tragedy too often happens. Couple things about it. One, no one should go into a bin if they don't have to. If they do have to go into a bin, all the power to that bin should be shut off, because that's typically what causes the problem. Is once the auger starts, it's like quicksand. You get in there and the grain starts moving under your feet. You literally have maybe 3 or 4 seconds before you're going to be sucked down to where you really can't get out. Within 30 seconds, that's going to be over your head. So if somebody does have to go in, they should have a safety harness on, and there should be somebody observing them to help them if something happens. But make sure that power's off. They call it, it's really, they need to shut the power down and make sure everybody knows that power needs to stay off. Somebody can't come by and switch it on so that somebody's in that bin can get sucked down into that grain.
Safety has come a long way on the farm. There are lots of new technologies, all kinds of new communication devices. The bottom line is to have an emergency plan and have that equipment and emergency safety gear all in place.
Yeah, that's very true, Steve. It's a lot of it's common sense. A lot of it's, what we first started talking about. If you're rushing, sometimes you make mistakes. The other thing is, we talked about why is harvest time a more dangerous time. Part of it these days is the technology has allowed farmers really to go 24/7. I mean, they can turn on the GPS unit, and I've seen it, around my house. People are harvesting at 2 a.m., and that's great that we can do that, I guess, but that doesn't mean that your body isn't going to break down if you don't get proper rest. So one of the other things is farmers really need to take a little time for themselves, even during this crazy time of the year. They need to make sure that they have some, enough rest. They need to eat right and be hydrated so that their mind is functioning as well as their tractor, and maybe these kind of mistakes won't happen.
Well, Michael, we appreciate you being on with us this morning and sharing some of this. We're going to link out to where farmers and others can get more information on this. But the bottom line is just be safe. And if you're one of the motorists out there as well, just be extra careful and slow down around the farm equipment.
That's the exact best advice anybody can get. A little patience and slow down, and I think everybody will get to the end of harvest safely.
All right. We appreciate you being with us this morning, Michael.
Thank you, Steve.
Mike Matulis, a public information officer at the Illinois Department of Labor. Harvest safety, harvest underway all over the Midwest.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It is Wednesday here on The Opening Bell. Our focus turns now to retirement savings. It's National Retirement Security Week. The third week of October has long been that. Americans struggling with saving enough for retirement, and it's particularly a problem for older workers as well in that system. We're happy to have with us Mark Horner, who is a certified financial planner and CEO of Fairhaven Wealth Management, returning guest here to The Opening Bell. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be with you.
Nice to see you again. I want to talk a little bit about this, idea that older workers aren't keeping up with their retirement savings. How bad is the situation? How significant are the savings minuses here, the lack of having savings?
It is significant. Some studies put the lack of preparedness for retirement for older workers above 50%. So that's a big number. And I think I'm sure a variety of reasons. There are just certain economic realities that we all face that might make saving for a longer term goal like retirement more difficult. I think it might go back to a topic we've talked about before, and that is just general financial education and getting good habits started early. But even for those people that weren't able to start saving for retirement early, there's always this morning to make a change in their saving habits.
So before we get into some of those tips, talk to us a little bit about what you generally see. Is it we're not putting enough in our 401ks? Older workers have somehow changed jobs, maybe after the 2008 financial crisis where they lost their nest egg? Or is it all of these problems?
I think it's all of these problems. And maybe a more relatable example is if we're, you know, I'd like to lose a couple of pounds. And so getting up in the morning to go to the gym is sometimes difficult. So starting a new habit can be difficult. And again, there are realities of people just coming out of college, demands of student loan debt to be paid and wanting to get that first apartment or that first car, and thinking about, well, retirement's 30 or 40 years off when I come out of college. I'll get to that. And that it can tend to snowball, and you'd ultimately never get to it, or you get to it far too late, which is, again, why we're consistent in our message with our clients as they're talking with their kids and grandkids about getting started early with the right habits and sticking with it.
It's the plan. You mentioned getting up and going to the gym. You got to get the plan, set it, and then start doing it.
You do, and there's multiple steps in that. And actually, you know, the millennial generation tends to get a little bit of a bad rap on just about everything. But also, studies as far as retirement go, they're doing a good job of starting to save, which is step one in the plan. Step two, where they need a little bit of work, is getting invested correctly. So in getting invested for the long term, and the numbers just are overwhelmingly in favor of investing in the stock market given a long-term horizon. If you've got a 10 or a 20-year or a 30-year horizon towards retirement, the stock market historically has been a very good place to be invested.
So it's pretty easy to do when you have a financial planner because you take care of all of that stuff. But for those of us who don't yet have a financial planner, don't have one, can't afford one, or whatever the situation is, we have our 401k. Does that mean changing that mix in our 401k to lean more heavily to stocks? Is that a good first step?
It could. Now, it all depends. I want to be careful not to give broad-based advice here because it's very dependent on an individual's circumstances and their goals, which include time horizon, the ability to tolerate daily stock market fluctuation. But yeah, if you've got a goal that you're saving for 20 or 30 years, in general, your portfolio should have a reasonably high weighting in stocks. And you know, and it's true that the clients that we work with, we have an ongoing relationship with, and that I recognize that that's not for everybody. Yeah. And so there are lots of different ways to do that. It's not work with a financial advisor throughout the course of the year as a long-term relationship, which is, again, how we work with our clients. It's not either that or nothing. there are other options out there. For example, the floor right above us in our office in Wheaton, there's an hourly financial planning firm that somebody could walk into their offices, pay a fee for an hour to get some advice, and then be on their way. So it's not, the financial planning community is not an all or nothing option.
It's interesting you say that, and I was going to tell people if you're listening and you want to have a question for Mark, you can either text it in at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, or you can give us a call, and Mark's been kind enough to say he'll take some of your questions if they come in. And actually, there's already one from the 224 about just that, what poor people can do to get financial planning advice. That hourly planner, that's a wonderful idea.
That is another option. That is one option. There's another option that's happening in downtown Chicago actually this Saturday. So there's a group of certified financial planners getting together at the Harold Washington Library all day Saturday, giving free financial advice that anybody that wants to walk into the library and talk to a financial planner. So again, it's not either do it on my own or hitch my wagon to Mark and the team for the rest of my life. There are plenty of options in between.
Free, I like free. Free,
free's good.
Everybody loves free. You know, Mark, it is sometimes daunting. Just like getting up and going to the gym, getting going. There's a lot of information. There are a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of things that could happen day to day. The daunting part of it weighs heavily on people.
It does. And I think that's part of what our clients tell us is that's part of the value of working with a financial planner is helping to diffuse some of that information that we get bombarded with every day. And in general, as the day-to-day tweets or headlines come out, it's probably not a good idea to be reacting to those things as far as your financial plan goes. Financial plans written appropriately are designed for long-term goals, and you should really be sticking with the plan.
How often should you be checking in on your portfolio?
Yeah, so that varies, and actually with our clients, that varies depending on the length of our relationship. Newer clients that are new to the firm, they're going to check in more frequently as they get sort of comfortable with the process and how the plan is working, and then as relationships mature, it's periodically through the course of the year, and then again it varies based on individuals, but I'd say anywhere at least once per year, but maybe 3 or 4 times a year to do a double check. Am I on track with my goals? Does my portfolio reflect the goals that I'm trying to achieve?
You mentioned earlier the millennials, the longer term retirement savings going heavily towards stocks. So let's say you're a little bit later in life. What should be the plan?
So again, it does come back to your goals. And time frame is going to be one of those. So if for that person that's thinking about retirement 2 or 3 years from now and wanting to put together a plan, the plan is likely going to be very different than somebody that might have retirement 10 years away. So again, it's very difficult to get broad based advice about what specifically to do. I'd say a great first step is starting with some kind of plan. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to be a 58-page document that takes you months to prepare. You can get started early with a pretty simple process to do a checkup on your retirement readiness and get some specific action steps either from any of those ranges of options, either this Saturday with that hourly financial planning firm right above us or with a firm like ours.
There's a new study out that says nearly half of older workers will experience downward mobility in retirement.
Right.
That is, they will perhaps have a lesser quality of life and even below the poverty line.
That's true. So unfortunately for a lot of people as that study reflects, they're leaning on primarily just Social Security in retirement, and for most people that's not going to be enough to replace their lifestyle after that paycheck is gone. So that lack of preparedness or underpreparedness is absolutely able to be remedied, but it does require somebody taking some action steps And again, that comes back to a great first action step is not just to, put all your portfolio into stocks later today. A great first action step is to take a look at your overall resources, what you personally have available, and get a plan together towards working towards retirement. Because we all want to have options, you know, as we're moving through life, and having an option to work or not to work later in life is better than not.
Yeah, I feel like I talk to a lot of people who that's one of their big worries is they want to have a retirement. They don't want to have to be working into their 60s and 70s.
Sure, who does? You want to be able to make the choices to do different things. And you know, and as far as retirement these days, if our clients are representative, it's looking a lot less than what the stereotypical retirement was years ago of the gold watch and then play golf every day. We talk to our clients a lot about the phase two of their working career, where instead of working and worrying about a paycheck, they go do volunteer work or teach or work with small companies. But again, it comes back to the idea of putting yourself in a position to have the option to consider those alternatives.
Mark, we do have a call, and it's Danny is on the line with us this morning. Danny is, I guess, has some inheritance, wants to talk about investing in inheritance. Danny, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Hi, good morning, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, so what's your question?
Essentially, I'm a relatively young person. I'm 27 years old, and my father passed away not too long ago and left a certain amount of money for me and to invest in my future. I just really don't know where to start. I don't really have a lot of education when it comes to stocks and finances, anything like that, but I want to get ready for a future, and I don't want to wind up working deep into my later years of life. So if you have any advice where to start.
Hey, Danny, first, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. But it sounds like you're doing the right things. I think a great first step for you to do today is to put together a personal inventory. So the financial planning term would be your balance sheet. And all that is a list on the left-hand side of your assets. So that's going to be the checking savings account, any savings accounts that you might have in brokerage accounts, let's say, any retirement accounts. Those might be IRAs or Roth IRAs, any employer-sponsored retirement plans, 401k plans, things like that. And then on the right-hand side of the sheet is going to be the list of liabilities. That's going to be any debts that you might have. So unpaid credit card balances each month, car loans, student loans, if you own a home, mortgages. And that'll help you today get yourself financially organized to start making some decisions about how to allocate that inherited money that you have. And I think, again, that would be a great first step as far as specific ideas about what to do with that. That's gonna require you just thinking about what some of your goals are. And again, I would encourage you to facilitate that conversation with one of the resources that I mentioned, either a free review by a planner, an hourly review, or we'd be happy to talk with you in the office.
All right, Danny, thanks for the call. And again, Mark, that again sounds like a perfect thing for the free event. Where's that? It's going to be at the Harold Washington.
It's at the Harold Washington Library this Saturday.
All right. And our time's up. We could do the whole hour. You should come back and do the whole hour with us.
Love to.
Because people always love asking these questions and getting free advice from people like you in the mornings.
Happy to do it.
All right. Mark Horner with us this morning, certified financial planner, CEO of Fairhaven Wealth Management.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are off about 60 points heading to the opening bell, down nearly a quarter of a percent. S&P futures are off nearly a third, and NASDAQ futures are off about a quarter of a percent as well after a mixed day in Asia and in Europe. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, everyone. The weekly harvest progress report's out a day late this week because federal offices closed for the Columbus Day holiday on Monday. But we got the numbers yesterday, and we're running well behind average on harvest. Corn harvest, for example, 22% harvested as of Sunday night. Normal at this time, 36%. Illinois with 23% of the corn crop harvested. Indiana, 24%. Iowa with only 7% of the corn crop in the bin as of Sunday. And then taking a look at soybeans, Illinois showing 27% of the crop harvested compared to an average of 55%. Indiana with 30% harvested compared to an average of 47%. So we need some better harvest weather so we can get this crop going. That's our AgriBiz report. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of more stories before we leave you this morning. Moody's Analytics says there's an uncomfortably high chance that a recession could hit the global economy in the next 12 to 18 months. Policymakers may not be able to reverse that course, according to Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, saying the risks are high that something that if something doesn't stick to script, then we will have a recession, in his words. Voting a slowdown in economic activity requires a couple of factors to stick to that script. That includes maybe ending the trade war, or at least not escalating the tariff war with China, finding a resolution to Brexit, central banks continuing their monetary stimulus, according to Zandi. Also this morning, we're getting some news about the latest in retail sales coming today. That will be one of the big reports that we'll be monitoring today when we talk about the economy and how things are going. Usually consumers are the ones driving that. So retail sales will be watched very closely today. Google is showing off its next generation devices. The tech giant has revealed the new Pixel 4 and Pixel 4 XL smartphones during a launch event in New York yesterday. Google says the biggest upgrades to the phone, it now includes two cameras on the back as well as a telephoto lens. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, October the 16th. Again, retail sales for September lead off today's economic reports. Retail analysts expect to see sales increasing 0.3% last month. Also today, August business inventories, the October housing market index from the National Association of Home Builders will be out. Building industry analysts see a slight retreat in the index, and business analysts are forecasting a 0.3% gain. And on the earnings calendar, the big week for corporate earnings continue. Bank of America, IBM, and Netflix all reporting quarterly earnings today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on Wednesday, October the 16th.